welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We've been in business for a good two decades plus. Since the mid-90s, basically, we've been buying and selling all forms of precious metals. Our purchases and sales have gotten up into the $1 billion plus range. Now, that might be pretty impressive, and you might think, holy crowley, that guy's rich. But I'll tell you what, I've had my ups, my downs. The business is what it is. I will admit, during the gold boom-a-roomang, I made some money, and then all of a sudden the market turned around and down she went, and I had just this tremendous inventory, and I got to experience what they call the owie financial factor, where I took a severe bath for a considerable amount of time. So I've been up and I've been down, and life's been good and life's been bad, and we've had it all, and God's been good to our business. Our business, folks, our business, Coins Plus, is so unique. Those of you that listen to the radio show, you listen for whatever reason, Christian stuff or, you know, that kind of stuff. You've all got your purpose, and that's great. But what you don't know is that Coins Plus is absolutely tremendously unique as a precious metals dealer. I've been working with a couple companies on some national stuff, and I hate to admit this, but there's companies that have done things to people that are really bad, dealing with the what's called the New American, which is the magazine for the John Birch Society, which the John Birch Society is the true blue conservative movement. They began many moons ago in the 50s. You know, of course, they were an anti-communist movement, which at the time, people weren't afraid to say communism was a bad thing. Now, of course, God forbid you dare speak that blasphemy. Socialism and communism is a superior form of government to us, according to the Yin Yang Yehu Club. And you can't dare say anything against it. I find it mind-bogglingly ironic that post 9/11, okay? So, first of all, 9/11 was a sham, a lot of it, okay? There was real planes that hit buildings and all that, but a lot of it was allowed. A lot of people knew it was coming. They could have stopped it. They didn't. Long story. So, supposedly, it was Arab Muslims that did it. Prior to that occurring, Osama bin Laden tried to blow up the World Trade Center and failed, right? So, post 9/11, what do? The first thing we do is we scramble and we get crazy and we try to install a bunch of different kinds of security measures and methods that essentially fail. And then we get the TSA, and then what do we get? Then we get to give up all of our civil rights. This is the fun part. So as time has gone on, little do you realize how much you have sacrificed. You don't know that you've given up so much of your personal rights. You don't even know it anymore, folks. You don't even realize it. You don't even know. You don't know that you gotta have ID everywhere you go. You can't travel without identification. You can't do anything with identification. You can't go, and you know you can. It's just, I won't get into it. But you know, I think what I'm saying. Times, they have changed, and we now live in a time that was biblically spoken of many moons ago, and we looked at it and we thought we knew what that would be like. I will admit that, you know, we didn't know what the internet was going to be. I mean, and so how could we understand that Jesus said, until the gospel is spread throughout the earth, I will not return, okay? So first of all, we're like, well, okay, you're going to spread the gospel. Missionaries are going to travel, and the words are going to spread. And then we thought TV and radio, and now we got the internet. And boy, let me tell you what, we got filth on the internet. We, you know, the internet serves a great purpose. I use it for various things. But if you want filth, you got it. Filth it is, okay? If you want garbage, blockade, trash, okay, you got it. Why do I say this? I try to do research online for my radio show, and it is rubbish. Google is a trap. They control information in an ungodly, you know, let's say it, satanic way, because the Antichrist, the evil one, he's the opposite of the good one, right? Well, guess who's in charge? You know what I mean? So you know, if it ain't God in control, who's in control? It's the evil one. How and why does the media get controlled by the left? Why is the media controlled by the left and evil is astounding to me. Now, somewhere along the line, you know, I guess we could look at the history of, you know, how the media got, you know, controlled by the left. And it's interesting, you know, where, you know, I mean, you've got fake news, negative news, distortion. You know, here's an article, the media exaggerates negative news. This distortion has consequences. This is The Guardian. And then he goes on and he, you know, continues to explain that the media overhypes and overpumps false news, negative news. It says news about things that happen, not things that don't happen. We never see a journalist saying to the camera, I'm reporting live from a country where a war has not broken out, or a city has not been bombed, or a school that's not been shot up. As long as bad things have not vanished from the face of the earth, there will always be enough incidents to fill the population into crime reports and war correspondence. You have to admit, folks, honestly, we like negative news. I mean, we want trash. We want garbage. We want to know bad things going on. Why? Isn't that interesting? Why? Why do you want to know that? Why do you turn on the news to get ticked off about all these people trying to chase Trump down? Now, the fact of the matter is, with this midterm election coming up in about 20 days, we honestly are facing, I mean, there, it's kind of weird because it's a midterm, but this could be the most important election of my lifetime. Because if the conservatives lose the Senate or the House, you are going to be looking at a stalwart logger's head. You are going to be looking at frozen ice. You already are. You've got Mitch McConnell. Paul Ryan has made a comment that all he can do now is give tours of the White House or of Congress. And I don't remember what the other thing was, but it wasn't impressive. They have lost all their rights. They have no power. They have no authority. Bad things happen quickly, but good things aren't built in a day, right? I always say frauds end suddenly. Okay, so you have all your money sitting in this or that paper investment fund or 401k or IRA. And, you know, it's doing pretty good. It's been a little bouncy lately, right? Because why? Well, primarily because the market's been all over the place because it's really driven by nothing but a bunch of hype. you know, and all these things go through my mind. They, you know, this disappearance of this guy who, how about that? How about the disappearance of this ambassador or whatever he was? Let me look this up. That was in Turkey, of a U.S. correspondent. They say he was accidentally killed during an interrogation. I mean, what kind of interrogation was that? Holy moly moly. So Saudi Arabia, you know, they admit to killing Jamal Khashoggi as a botched interrogation. How do you botch an interrogation so you kill somebody? Folks, that's, let's just say that's terrifying. Terrifying, terrifying, terrifying. Saudi Arabia admits journalist Jamal Khashoggi, journalist, was killed in the consulate in Istanbul in a botched interrogation. Officials from the kingdom were expected to lay out a series of events which blamed intelligence operatives and shielded Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, from responsibility over the journalist's death. Now, you'll remember I met Mohammed bin Salman when I was in on a very exclusive island in Tahiti. My wife went and I went to for our 30th anniversary and our 50th wedding birthdays. Wedding, how about that? 30th wedding anniversary and 50th birthdays. I met Mohammed bin Salman in person, spent time with him, talked to him. That's when he was the crown prince. Now he's the king. It says it came as Donald Trump, after speaking with Saudi Arabia's King Salman, suggested rogue killers could have been behind the death of Mr. Khashoggi, who was U.S. permanent resident and wrote columns for the Washington Post. The U.S. president also dispatched Mike Pompeo, his Secretary of State, to fly directly to Riyadh to meet the king and seek answers about the alleged murder. Saudi Arabia was said to be preparing a report that would confirm Mr. Khashoggi was killed as a result of questioning that went wrong. I don't get it, folks. I get how an interrogation means you're asking questions. He's a stinking journalist, right? All these countries assume everybody's a spy. So they say, be careful, you know, the report's still being prepared. The other source said the report would probably conclude that the operation was carried out without clearance. Those involved will be held responsible. Another person with knowledge of how Saudi Arabia intends to explain the episode told the New York Times the crown prince had approved an interrogation or rendition back to Saudi Arabia of Mr. Khashoggi. What's rendition? Do a little research, my friends. Rendition began under George W. Bush. Why? Well, we were no longer allowed to torture people on our soil. So what we would do is we would transport them to countries that would conduct the torture for us. Okay? There was some terrible stories of missed identities. There was an architect, clean as a whistle, whose brother was a terrorist. His brother, just prior to apparently letting off a bomb or whatever, called him, just accidentally misdialed his number. The conversation literally was for seconds. It was a misdial. So in their wisdom, the Egyptian rendition, now remember, rendition is real. This is where, I mean, these are things that are like, really? Okay. If we stand against certain types of torture, why is it okay for us to use rendition where we transfer that torture effect or we transfer that duty to another nation? It is not. Now, are there times that torture and abuse are right? Of course. I mean, you want, you know, I'm sure there's people that say never, never, never. folks, when you're dealing with evil, evil understands evil. I'll tell you, just as kind of a weird side note, my father was a bail bondsman. Now, during a period of my life, I was not basically a member of my household. I was rejected. And as a rejected child, I spent years of my life begging to get back. And, you know, that's because that's what kids do, and, you know, when their parents reject them. And I won't get into that. And I ended up back there my senior year, and then I would go back during college. I'd help my dad during his paperwork and things like this. My mother used to lose her mind because my dad would get on the phone with these people and he would speak in a way that would curl your toes. Vulgar, angry, threatening, hostile, barbaric. He'd say, if you don't, you know, if you don't show up in court, you know, of course, this is after they skipped twice. If you don't show up tomorrow at 9 a.m., I will do this to you. I will do that to you. You are a blank, blank, blank. And my mother would lose her marbles. And my father would say, this is the language they understand. This is who they are. This is what they get. You can't say to a criminal, hey, you know, I will ruin your credit. They don't care. I mean, they've already got garbage credit. In fact, a lot of them, my father became extraordinarily successful at operating with the underground for a number of reasons. One, because he had found the grandmother who had the authority. Ironically, to, you know, if she said someone would show up in court, guess what? They showed up in court. Very ironic, because until he'd figured out who this gal was, he could talk to every chief and every male and everything. One day a guy said to him, why don't you talk to, you know, squaw, whatever, so-and-so female, and she'll tell you. So he went to her house, and he sat down with her, and they were discussing her nephew, and he said, look, I'm pretty leery. Someone told me to come and talk to you. He said, I'm very leery about bailing him out because I'm afraid he won't show up for court. She said, you are correct. He will not show up for court. So he didn't bail him out. Later on, he became better friends with her. And he got to the point where he could call her and ask, is this guy going to show or not? She would give her word. If she gave her word and someone in the tribe broke it, it was bad, bad news, folks, bad news. So it was just the way of the system. There were people that lived literally on the black market. They lived underground, we'll call it. You couldn't locate them. They had no credit report, they had no job, they had no Social Security, they had nothing. They literally lived in the dark. And they did that on purpose because they had warrants for their arrest. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to live your life on the run? Well, frankly, folks, according to the Bible, as a believer, you may get to do that one day if you don't accept the mark of the beast. It says you won't be able to buy or sell or conduct commerce, okay? So it's important to prepare yourself for that. I don't want to go over the top, but I'll tell you, you need some tactical weapons, weapons that can hold their own, you know, semi-automatic, high-capacity rifles, extremely, you know, high capacity pistols, you know, like a Glock 9x19, you know, things with big long clips where you can get a tremendous amount of ammunition in it. Hollywood, you know, shows you shoot somebody once and down they go. This is not the case. My father got into a situation one time with a guy on methamphetamines, and I'm telling you what, folks, he had to load him with lead before that body stopped. I spent years, as most of you know, I spent the heartbeat of a huge portion of my life. First of all, growing up, I was a football-style athlete, and I was very large and strong and had incredible, you know, strength in the weight room, bench pressed, you know, well over 400 pounds, squatted 700. I was a big, big boy. Now I'm thin and tall. I'm probably 6'2", 6'3", maybe, you know, wet, maybe 218 or something. I used to be 265 to 275, and at one point I had about a 4 to 5% body fat and just tremendous strength. It was one thing, you know, it was just something that I did. These people that they use for these interrogations are these style of people. They're very well-armed and trained in tremendous pain, and it's not right, okay? So it says, you know, I go on, another person with knowledge of how Saudi Arabia intends to explain the episode told the Times, the Crown Prince had approved the interrogation or rendition. We talked about rendition. The kingdom intended to say that a member of its alliance intelligence services, who happened to be a friend of the Crown Prince, had been tragically incompetent in trying to prove himself during the operation, the newspaper reported. Following his first phone call with King Salman about the crisis, Mr. Trump said the monarch had firmly denied his state was behind the killing of Mr. Khashoggi. I'll be honest with you. I can keep going, speaking, you know, blah, 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 reading this article. I met this, King Salman, Crown Prince. I met him. I could see where he could be a pretty heavy feller. I could see where he, you know, they're just ice. It's a different world. It's Islam. It's the devil. It is the devil rules that part of the world. Now, here's what's crazy. Saudi Arabia is the most organized section of that world. They are the most gracious, professional, gentlemanly aspect of that world. But they also get extremely brutal in their interrogations. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, we've proven, and I said earlier, is interrogation with violence still okay? Yes, I'll tell you a quick example. I, as you're well aware, I have connections with high-ranking special operations people that I shouldn't have, that I'm blessed to have, okay? After Abu Ghraib, where we had, you know, been really tormenting our prisoners in Iraq, and the military personnel, they really were tormenting. And they were given directions to do so. After this, they changed the laws so that the army soldier interrogators lost all their authority. They had all these rules. If the interrogatee was sitting, they had to sit, or vice versa. You know, if they were standing, they had to stand. They got three hots and a cot, which means they got three nice meals and a place to sleep. And they could only hold them for 48 hours. This is at the time when they had captured three of our military personnel, I believe, and they knew they were planning to kill them. When they interrogated, all they needed was a phone number. With a phone number, they can get you, okay? What they do, number one, take the battery out of your phone and throw it in the water. Guess what? There's a 20% battery built into your phone for emergency backup. Okay? So people don't even realize that. Number two, these people would get out in the middle of the desert where there's no cell reception. The U.S. military will use a satellite to provide cell reception that is so strong that you think the people would be smart enough to figure out there's a problem. So they had interrogated these two guys that knew where these three Army personnel were that were going to be killed. Word was out that they were being interrogated. So they had accomplished zero, okay? We had our hands bind. We had the CIA watching. We had the FBI watching, which, by the way, is pathetic. A guy from the CIA and FBI walk around with briefcases of cash. If you go to get the bad guy, you blow up his house, you pay him back for his house. So they knew that they'd gotten nowhere with this interrogation. These interrogatees got to the point where they literally spit in their face and say, there's nothing you can do to me. Your American laws are pathetic. You're weak. And, of course, this is all under Osama bin Laden, and it may have started under Bush. So they released these two guys, after 2 days of interrogations accomplishing nothing. They're in an enclosed compound of special operations. These are the Rangers and the SEALs doing the interrogation. They get nowhere because the interrogatees, which at the time were Iraqi radical Muslim terrorists, are allowed to go. As they're going, guess what? The British SAS or the British MI5 or whatever they are, they grab the guys. Now, they're not bound by all this garbage that we'd put into place. Actually, there was three guys. They grab the guys, drag them into their building, put hoods on them, line them up. Now, remember, you got a hood on. You can't see what's going on around you. And they ask them simply, where are these three people? Well, their answer is, we don't know. So, and I hope this doesn't gross any of you out, but I'm just being candid. I've got a lot of stories about high-ranking military officials and the way the world really works. Like I said, I've got beautiful connections beyond anybody, just crazy. I've got people at high-ranking positions in the Pentagon, and I'm not bragging. This is crazy stuff that God lined me up with. It's just unbelievable. So what the guy, this is what the American military personnel told me. So the British guy takes one guy. Now they've all got hoods. They do not know what's going on to the other guys. He literally grabs his pinky, snaps it sideways. Sorry to gross you out. So guess what? Screaming, yelling, hollering, hooting. Now, the people in the other masks or hoods, they don't know what's going on. They know this guy's screaming at the top of his lungs. He asks him again, where are they? I don't know. So he does it to another finger. And down the line he goes. He gets to number two and does it again. Gets to number three. All of a sudden, the information's flowing freely. These people don't know what's happening to these other people. And away it goes. All they need is a phone number. Even if you've thrown out your emergency battery, they can track you with the phone at a level you cannot believe. Now, in the United States, we don't see this happening, although it does, but we don't see it because it's technically contrary to the Constitution. But it's happening all over the place. Every single conversation you have is recorded. What's worse is if somebody's phone is on, first I'll back up. Because they record every conversation, they have a specific verbal voice fingerprint for each and every one of you. The computer recognizes. So what they do, if a telephone is on next to you, and you're in a cafe in France, the NSA, who abuses the laws of these countries, or abuses the lack of laws, however you'd like to look at it, they hear your voice, they know where you are, even though it's not your phone, they just heard it on. So they find out where these people are, they immediately get in their vehicles, they rush over there. As they get, they were close, they missed it by a building. When they finally got in the proper building, they had everything set up and ready to go. They had cameras. They had one of the females. They were going to decapitate her or dismember, or who knows, sick, just satanic disrespect for the creation of God. You as a human being are God's greatest, most magnificent creation, most phenomenal, incredible creation. You can actually harbor and deal with and ponder and consider good and evil simultaneously. This is what Satan meant when he said, if you eat from the tree of good and evil, you'll basically have the knowledge of good and evil. It made us unique. We're the only mammal that can do this. Okay? So they walk into this room, and this gal's ready to go. They're ready to start their torture, their whatever. They're going to decapitate them on film. Army Rangers come in, absolutely clean the place out. The SEALs come in, rescue the gal. And then they bring in the U.S. Army, and the U.S. Army takes all the blame or all the responsibility, because this is what they do. When they caught Osama bin Laden, that was the Rangers. That wasn't the Army. But the Rangers do their work. They slide out, and they let the U.S. Army enlisted men take responsibility, because they want the enemy to know our Ranger task force is unbeatable, that you never know where they are, how they work. They don't do interviews. They make no public statements for obvious reasons. They basically stay in the shadows. Okay, they are able to do things with guns I cannot believe. I have trained with these men. Forget about it. I've concluded, if you're coming to get me, my arms go down, I let you put two in the chest, one in the head, and I'm done. There's no way on God's green earth I could stand up against these men with a gun in their hand. The level of skill quality is so far beyond anything you can comprehend. You would not even believe it. It is so crazy. We built mazes and all kinds of deer trails, and we had targets, red and green. Green is good. Not only red and green targets, just normal targets with little red and green dots on them, so they had to think. They ran through this forest at a full sprint. They had to decide who to shoot and who not to shoot in fractions of a second. Prior to this, we had a young guy run through the course at full speed without any weapons. I think we put up about 12 targets. These are not the accurate numbers. But just as an example, a young, healthy athlete was able to run through this trail without having to worry about any of this stuff in, let's say, a minute and a half. Let's be hypothetical. I don't remember the numbers. When the Rangers ran through the same course, putting two in the chest, one in the head on the bad guys, and not shooting the good guys, the good human upper body targets, they had, number one, 100% accuracy. Number two, it took them less than 10 seconds longer to get through the course, which I think was about the difference between a minute 40 and a minute 50. Their speed and accuracy was beyond anything. And then you want shooting behind the neck, behind the head, you know, you name it. Any trick shot, you know, they got it. And, you know, a lot of these guys have put 500,000 to a million rounds through. There's, I think it's the seventh longest kill on record. I know the guy who did it. If you go to Wikipedia and read about it, he demanded to remain anonymous. He thought what that, who was the guy, the American sniper that went and wrote the big book and bragged himself up, and it's ironic that he passed because he breached his ethical agreement of silence and teamwork. It's the same with this other guy who claims to have killed Osama bin Laden. He didn't kill Osama bin Laden. His whole, number one, it's extremely questionable if it was even Osama bin Laden. All of my intel says it was not, which is why they dumped it in the ocean. But number two, he didn't kill Osama bin Laden. If it was Osama bin Laden, he killed whoever was in that house with the help of two dozen special operators that were right behind him. They operate as a unit, one-to-one. When they come into a room, they don't have to worry about what's around the corner because they've got guys who are covering every inch of that room. Every inch. They take care of their zone. They're all given a zone. And they take care of their zone. And they know that their other guys have their back. They don't even have to worry about it. It's covered. They've been in hard situations I've heard about with 9 and 10-year-olds, with bombs and guns. And it's really sad these children are raised with the hatred of Jews and Christians that you cannot believe. By the ages of 4 and 5, their number one life wish is to kill a Jew or a Christian. And why we haven't gotten worse, I don't know. They celebrate these terrorist attacks. They celebrate bombs. They celebrate death. They use the Quran to justify it. We're told it's not in the Quran. I say malarkey. I could use some time right now and read it to you and prove it to you. It is in there. They are obeying the orthodox writings of the Quran and in many cases radical clerics. In America, where we have freedom of speech, a lot of these mosques are, you know, what they teach in public and what they teach in private contradicts itself. They're told that they are basically warriors for God. Jihad is a good thing. The Mahdi, their Messiah, is not scheduled to return until they begin a world war, okay? So they have to begin a world war. The most powerful Muslim country in the world is Iran. You hear little about them. You get idiots like Obama that gives them $1.5 billion up front to to denuke. Obama gives them $400 million cash to buy out hostages. Trump doesn't do that. Trump uses the power of the United States to back him up. And guess what? It works. Trump's a strong man. Trump may not be everything you wish he was. He might be a little crazy. He may be this. He may be that. But the bottom line is, he doesn't need cash. He spreads the news. People know what he's about. They know he takes care of business, and that's all that really matters. So when we've got this kind of stuff going on in Saudi, I'm disappointed. Why? I met King Salman, Muhammad Salman. I call him Salmon Salad because that's all I can remember. It was King Salam, Assad, Mahad, Lajad, Vadad, Gadad, Vadad, Shagab, whatever it was. I couldn't remember his name. Had I realized the power he had, I would have spent more time getting to know him. He did invite us over there. I was sure it was very casual. But I told my wife I had no interest to travel there because he said there was some wonderful snorkeling in the Red Sea we had to come try out, and he welcomed us to visit. I do suppose if you visited with the blessings of the king, you just might be safe. At the time, he was the crown prince. That means out of all the princes over there, he was the king. When his father died, he became king. It's a different thought process, a different world, okay? So that's just the way it is. That's where we are. That's who we are. That's where we live. That's the world we live in. We, you know, there's people that are expecting huge swings in metals. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I see no other way. We've got hyperinflation. We have created currency at a rate that is unfathomable, unreal, ridiculous, unbelievable, just massive, massive quantities of it. And we are prepared for war. We're ready to go. Donald Trump's very strong. He's intimidating these countries dearly. He's leading them into armament for Armageddon, the big one, the last and final battle, according to the Bible. When, I don't know. But I know that things are lining up. The biggest fear is when Trump's out of office. Because of his strength, many countries are preparing for when he's gone. They know the Democrats are weak. They know they're pathetic. They know that they've got a socialistic mindset. And they think everybody's their buddy. The most important thing you can do is read the Word. Now, I mentioned I love the book of Proverbs. Why? Well, first of all, I study the Hebrew as I read it. Secondly, it refers to all kinds of other scriptures, cross-references, and so on and so forth. Plus the fact that it was written by the wisest man that ever lived before or since, and the richest. Why not? Why not live and die by this man's word? This man wrote the book of Proverbs because his son, Rehoboam, was a train wreck. Ironic how this happens. Solomon was given incredible wisdom, and he was given it by God because he told God, God asked him he could have whatever he wanted. He asked for wisdom to help his people. He didn't ask for vengeance. He didn't ask for money. He asked specifically for wisdom to help his people. God said, you know what? Because you didn't ask for riches and power and vengeance, I'm going to give it all to you. You're going to be wealthy. Now, when you have that level of wisdom, you'd better be healthy, because he was able to create some of the most phenomenal, things that are available. So, I mean, Solomon's second temple, he created incredible things. Solomon's hanging gardens, one of the seven wonders of the world at the time. We don't know what they were, but I bet they were cool. He used that wisdom wisely. And that's what wisdom will do. And you have access to that wisdom. Jesus said point blank, you will do far more than I have done. Think about the fact, one thing that kind of blows my mind. There are some scriptures where it says Jesus healed everyone there that day. There are countless scriptures where he didn't do that. He's walking down the street one day, packed with people all around. And then he said, who touched me? And Peter and John said, what do you mean who touched you? You're surrounded by people. He said, no, somebody just touched me, and their faith drew out so much of my power, my spiritual faith healing power, I felt them touch me. So we tracked down this woman who had dealt with an internal bleeding issue for 13 years she could not fix. Her faith made her well. This, again, is a place that I have struggled a lot with. Why? For the simple fact that I don't want any portion of my salvation dependent upon me. None. which is why it makes you wonder a little bit why God would make it so clear that belief and faith holds such huge stakes. I guess believing in God, it says in the Bible, you say you believe. Well, good for you. He says, even the demons believe and shudder. The demons know there's a God, but you don't. Atheists don't. And like I said, my son's been reading stuff that is affecting his perspective. If you want to pray, pray for him. He's 32 and he's still searching. He's always looking for the grass is greener. He's been with our business quite some time, off and on, has incredible talent, doesn't necessarily apply it, gets overpaid, works under hours, just not exactly what we want in an employee. By the way, we do have a position open for a trainee. But you've got to know generally coins. You've got to know a little bit about coins. Okay, you've got to know a little bit about coins, and then you're going to learn the photography system. And there's a lot of other things that you can learn along the way. But in the meantime, it's important that you learn about, I'm sorry, I just had someone pop in the room and it distracted me a little bit. I lost my place, my apologies. I was saying you need to learn about something. So whatever I was saying you need to learn about, that's what you need to learn about. So, one thing I want to do, I've got all these notes all over, and of course it's getting later and late as it always does. I did some videos recently on Coins Plus and whatnot, okay? I've got stuff here on Deep State. I got all kinds of stuff. One thing I want to talk, I want to tell you about Coins Plus, okay? And the reason I want to do this is I'm working with a company that was burned heavily back in the 80s by a guy who was doing storage of metals for people. But here was the problem. They would ship him the money and he would assure them that he was storing their goods. Okay? Well, guess what? Apparently he wasn't. And he absconded $57 million. I want you to know now, not only is that so far from who we would ever be, miles and miles and miles, I want you to understand we cannot accept your enter your safe deposit box. Access was the word I wanted. We cannot access your safe deposit box without your keys. That's why it's very important to hang on to them. We cannot access your box without your keys. If you lose both of your keys, we got to relock the thing. It's not cheap. Allied Security comes out and it's about $100 a lock. They're double locks. One's a guard key. That's ours. The other key is yours. So you don't have to worry. Just to clear the air there. We do offer the private, the highest rated privately held depository service west of the Mississippi, I understand. I still don't believe it because I have been told, I have seen a depository service in Vegas which is large and impressive. Supposedly, I don't know what the level of exterior security is, but this building was built from the ground up with this business in mind, extreme, extreme security. So let's talk a little bit about metals, buying them, selling them, who to choose, why to choose them, how you choose them. So I don't have time. But why is it important to have your rare coins evaluated by a reputable industrial professional, industry professional? The bottom line is, folks, there's crooks in our business. There's people. We have situations where there is a number of people out there, and you may have a grandma or a grandpa or whatever, that have had coins forever. It was a thing, okay? Until the 60s, everybody hoarded coins. Why? Because they maintained their value, okay? So it's important to understand not all dealers pay the same. I hate to tell you that. Reputable dealers do so, but not all do. So what makes a reputable dealer, okay? Well, Coins Plus I'll use as an example. There's other ones like it. High volume, low margin. When you go to these little podunk coin shops, I mean, we've been getting references from our quote competition to an extreme. I mean, I don't understand it. It's kind of hard to consider them competition when they have nothing in common. We're a nationally situated industry professional operating from probably the finest facility nationwide, offering phenomenal depository service at extremely good prices. Okay, now our boxes run from 60 to 300. You might go 300 a year. Well, you can prepay 3 to 5 years and save a ton of dough. But the bottom line is that these are held in a system that only we can access together. It's a Class 2 vault system, which is 18 inches of composite concrete, the equivalent of 36 inches poured. These massive panels are craned into place. We wrap that vault in 1-inch thick T12 resistant plate steel. That was the definition of the old Class 2 vault, okay? So, certifications obtained. Well, let's just say this. Let's just say high volume, low margin philosophy. You want a dealer who's well capitalized or has literal unlimited financing. Now, dealers that have free and clear assets like we do, everything I own is free and clear. We are well capitalized. We can write a very substantial book. But we won't because we don't want to educate our consumers. We're well capitalized. We have, in some cases, what people would, at least industry-wide, consider unlimited funds. We have a large, well-balanced inventory. We're retail end users. That means when you sell us a product, 99.x% of the time, that product goes to a local collector or investor, okay? We avoid wholesalers. Why? Most coin dealers that you run into, they literally buy to immediately sell to another dealer, which cuts into your profits. What's worse is you will literally stand in a coin shop, like up on Garland, there's kind of a little ho-dunky hole in the wall in a strip mall. That is, you know, they spend all their time bad-mouthing the competition. By the way, unless you ask point-blank questions, if somebody's degrading somebody else, for no good reason, like a dealer bad-mouthing another dealer, there's probably an integrity issue there, because what's more important is they should sign what they're agreeing to, and I'll leave it at that. Okay, avoid wholesalers. They're buying to immediately sell. Coins Plus, well, we say get your purchase evaluations done by a high-volume, low-margin, nationally competitive dealer who strives for integrity in every transaction. That's us. We want to be fair and honest in every transaction. People are blown away often by our pricing. They just cannot believe it. If you happen to inherit a $10,000 coin or 20, or just like we recently bought a coin for $175,000, we left ourselves $5,000 profit. $175,000, I figured $5,000 was fair. They were happy. I could have got $25,000. Didn't matter. It was all about integrity at this point. You want to get your purchase evaluations done by, like I said, high volume, low margin, nationally competitive dealers. Coins Plus of Spokane is one of these. We are very high volume, very low margin, and we are nationally competitive dealers, and we strive for integrity in every transaction. That is our goal, okay? So talk about scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. Why would you sell your scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds to a high-volume gold dealer like such as ourselves instead of a jewelry store or pawn shop? Jewelry stores operate on 100 to 200% markup. That's their profit margin. They make a massive killing, which is why often jewelers will spend a tremendous time with you. The wholesalers will typically spend a lot of time with you, and that's another topic for another day. Along the same line. Scrap gold, jewelry, why sell your scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds to high volume, low margin dealers like Coins Plus? I told you jewelry stores operate on 1 to 200%. They simply cannot pay what a gold dealer can pay. You go down the road from us, Jewelry Design Center has the big We Buy Gold sign. Folks, when people escape there, and they're smooth, but when people keep stuff, I have seen stories you wouldn't believe how low they hit them. It's sad. The gold in the item is the gold in the item. The primary goal of pawn shops, why not sell the pawn shops? People do it all the time, don't they? The primary goal of a pawn shop is to pay as little as possible on everything they buy. Everything. The goal of a pawn shop, they have the habits for them because they have to sit on everything for 30 to 60 days. But a high volume, low margin. Well, let's say this. Pawn shops simply cannot pay what a gold dealer can, neither can a jewelry store. Excessive fees and interest on items before they repossess the item after a few large interest payments have been made. That's what they thrive on. That's why they want you to borrow the money. They rack up the interest. They make the money. You might make a payment or two. It's hugely profitable. Interest rates are exorbitant. Points and fees are exorbitant. Coins Plus does not do any of this. Well, went over today. I'm sure the show is off now. Take care. Bye-bye.